This is a Rain rerun.
Welcome to another edition of the Rain Report, available on demand from Ham Radio's most blind-friendly website, www.rainreport.com. I'm Angelo Polveri, KA9CSO. This week we bring you an excerpt from a rare interview with Rain's chief pot and bottle washer, Hap Holly, KC9RP. He was interviewed by Merle Hanlon, KB9NOH, on the KB9OJV Danville, Indiana repeater system in April 2000. This will be the only excerpt you'll hear on the Rain Report. The first voice you'll hear is Merle Hanlon, KB9NOH.
Well, I will tell you, Hap, it sure is a privilege to have you. Many people are not aware of your visual disability, something that you live on a daily basis. Please advise us how you get through the day, meeting and speaking to the public via radio and internet, and have such a smooth transition of communication.
I will have to give a lot of the credit, frankly, Merle, to an organization called Toastmasters International. It's an international organization I've been a member of for 25 years that teaches communication skills and leadership skills. And that has helped me greatly over the years to enunciate better, to communicate more effectively, and has helped me to become disciplined in not feeling when I pause in between ideas or phrases to feel impelled to use the word or any other non-words that we hear all the time, you know, and so forth. So that has helped me greatly to get to where I am today as far as interviewing people and producing programming, because part of Toastmasters is listening, and obviously part of interviewing is listening, and of course the tough thing is to listen and then formulate other questions as you earnestly listen to what your interviewee is attempting to say to you or to your listeners.
It's logical, Hap, for folks to wonder if you're absolute blind or have severe blurring.
I would say blind as a bat, but actually bats do have a little vision, so that wouldn't entirely apply. But you know, while I'm on the topic, if I were to be given the opportunity to get my sight back, I don't know that I would. That may come as a shock to some, but because I would have to learn so much to regain what you take for granted, reading, of course, getting visual perspective of the visual experience, and there's no guarantee that if it were to be restored, because my brain has hasn't had to deal with that kind of informational input, it truly would become overloaded at first and may not deal very well with that. So anyhow,
well, that's a surprise for probably most folks to hear, and even me, but I can see where you're coming from, since my youngest son was born with that impairment.
You know, being blind is definitely a nuisance. It's a pain in the butt, to put it politely. We deal with and do with what we have and what we've been given. Therefore, when I began to lose my sight when I was 5 and it was gone by the time I was 8, this is really, when you think about it, this is all I've known. And I had choices along the way of, well, do I continue moving forward or do I start sliding backwards in the way I deal with my sighted counterparts and my sighted world. But I've always grown up in a sighted world. I went to public schooling all my life, went to a little college not too far from you down near St. Louis called Principia College, the first person that happened to be blind to be enrolled there as a student in 1970. As far as dealing with the world as it is on a daily basis, I've really known nothing else.
I know that you receive, through the internet, email. How do you communicate with such things as a computer?
Last fall, I took a class that was directed toward the blind. There were 6 of us in the class. I was very grateful. It was funded by the State of Illinois Department of Human Services, or some of us call it the Department of Inhumane Services. I learned how to use Windows 98, Microsoft Word, and especially to use a program called JAWS, J-A-W-S. That is a speech screen reader program. JAWS stands for Job Access with Speech. Now, I don't talk to the computer. I use a keyboard. But since I cannot visualize what's on the screen, I need JAWS to tell me what is on the screen or to confirm for me the commands that I key into the computer. So JAWS, which comes from a company called Hunter Joyce, is a great tool. I use Outlook Express for mail, and that is how I do email. Now, for a number of years, I used a rather antiquated Braille terminal, a terminal with a 20-character Braille display. Think about it. You're used to looking across the screen to see 80 different columns. This only had 20, and it was only one line. It wasn't 24 or however many you have on your screen. It only could communicate with the world via ASCII and via very basic modem. The fastest it could go was 9600 baud, but I never have had much luck in getting it to go over 1200 baud without running into problems.
Merle Hanlon, KB9NOH, interviewing RAIN founder executive producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, on the KB9OJV repeater system in Danville, Indiana.
Here's an item that was forwarded to us from Dale Ship, W9LOV of Spring Hill, Florida. It was written by his friend Rusty, KC4ZPB. Got a good friend over in Huntsville, Alabama, that used to work for the high-tech companies that contracted out to NASA. When you were working, the pay was good, but when the work ran out, you were out of a job. Well, my friend got tired of living like this, and someone told him to go up to the mountain and talk to the guy that was the chief engineer and part owner of the ABC station. He went up there and was doing very well in the job interview until he was asked if he was a ham. He said no, and they asked why not. He told them CW is keeping him out of the hobby, and when they do away with CW, he will become a ham. He knew he had said the wrong thing. He said you could see the hate coming from behind the chief's glasses. He told the chief sorry and guess he was not going to get the job. The chief told him he was hired, but he would have to learn CW in order to keep his job. He didn't have to get a ham ticket, but he had to know CW. He asked how fast, and the chief told him that he would be the judge of that. Several weeks later, he was working on some tape machines when the chief walked by and asked him how he liked his new job. He said he liked the new job, and the chief asked him how he was doing on his CW study. He told the chief, "You were joking." The chief told him he required all his engineers to know CW, and he was not joking. As long as the rules applied to all, it was legal. But he could not make exceptions and told my friend to come into the office. He gave him some audio tapes and told him to study these at home and made the point that he was not paying him to study on company time and to do it at home. He hated this, but he had to jump through the hoops to keep his job. After about 2 weeks, the chief tested him and told him he was doing okay, but he needed to get his speed up and do better. Well, he started to like the code and went down and got an extra ticket. The chief tested him a number of times and was happy. Needless to say, some of the best CW operators work at this station, and they have almost zero turnover. Most have been there many years. The station has since sold, but the engineers are still there. Nowadays, you could never require the engineers to know CW. It's hard to even find anyone who knows electronics. These guys at this station were the ones we used to hold big CW roundtable, and there was a lot of shop talk going on until the wee hours of the morning. I once tried to get a job over there and was told that he wanted to hire me as I was already qualified in CW. He just didn't need anyone because of the low turnover. The industry needs more chiefs like him. 73, Rusty, KC4ZPB.
That's 30 for this edition of the RAIN Report, copyright 2000. RAIN, all rights reserved. I'm Angelo Polveri, KA9CSO, inviting you to tune in next week for the next RAIN Report, the weekly audio ham radio feature magazine of RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network.